let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment.
But I am heartily sorry for them,
and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful me.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Have done marvelous things. Alleluia.
will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God. Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 16th chapter of St. John, the 13th and the 14th verses. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me, for he shall take what is mine and declare it to you. I know I've said this many times before, but I'm going to say it again. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. And it was St. John who put it so simply, we love because he first loved us. I suppose all of us know that people who in early childhood somehow didn't receive enough love or the right kind of love will probably in later life have a somewhat difficult time. And this is true in an even deeper sense of our life with our Maker. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. The Gospels read in church on these last few Sundays of the Easter season take us back to the upper room in Jerusalem on that dark night when the Lord was betrayed. Like last Sunday's Gospel, the Gospel read in church on this Sunday is just one small fragment of Jesus' lengthy farewell discourse with his bewildered, frightened disciples who have heard him say, "One of you will betray me." This whole discourse begins with those very familiar words, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And then concludes with the words, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And what an astonishing thing that is for this young Jewish rabbi to say as he faces betrayal, arrest, unjust judgment, and death by crucifixion. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, precisely what the disciples made of these words on that dark night so long ago, we cannot really know. But we do know this much with certainty, that they were deeply saddened and frightened at the prospect of losing their beloved teacher and friend. And so to comfort them, the Lord Jesus says to them, I will not leave you desolate, or literally, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And come to them he did on the evening of that first Easter day in the splendor of his resurrection, speaking peace to their troubled hearts, and showing them his hands and his side with the still visible marks of the nails and the spear, the marks of his perfect love for them and for us all. Nor was that all, for on that last sad night, he promised them even more. He promised to send them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who consoles us and who makes us strong in faith and hope and love. He promised to send the Holy Spirit. And that he did on that great day of Pentecost, the 50th day after his resurrection. Today, we are just about halfway between Easter Day and the day of Pentecost, as we hear in the Gospel the words of Jesus, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me, for he shall take what is mine and declare it to you. And so on the day of Pentecost, he fulfilled that promise. He sent them his Holy Spirit, whose coming on that day was revealed in something like tongues of fire, which warmed their hearts and loosed their tongues to proclaim the astonishing love and the victory of their crucified, risen, and ascended Lord. Yes, Jesus says, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And the Father will give you another Comforter to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In all of this, Jesus is loving. And in all of this, the disciples are receiving Jesus' love, which then overflows to the dying world with that good news, which in all the world's darkness is that single source of light. Christ is risen. Yes, to be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved by Jesus. Only then is it a matter of loving. But it is also a matter of loving, as our Lord in that farewell discourse also said to his disciples and says to us, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And we are simply deceiving ourselves if we say that we love him, but then pay not the slightest attention to his holy commandments. It was William Temple, one of the great Christian teachers of the last century, who had this to say about these words of the Lord Jesus: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and if we do not love him, we won't. Let no one deceive himself about that. There is no possibility of meeting his claims upon us unless we truly love him. Our love is cold. It is there, but it is feeble. It doesn't carry us to real obedience. So is there anything I can do? No, there never is, except to hold myself in his presence. The initiative remains with God." But the dear Lord, who knows both the reality and the poverty of our love, will supply our need. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. And so we pray with the Church of the Ages: "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we especially remember Pastor Roy Coates, who is recovering at home now. We pray for Mary Tekel, recovering from surgery. We pray for Prince Williams, who is a member of Redeemer Church in Irvington, who is hospitalized. We remember all those for whom we are bound to pray. And on this Mother's Day, we give thanks for our mothers and pray for God's blessing on them. Let us then stand and pray for the church and for the world. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. And we pray that, hearing his voice, we may follow where he leads, so that as we have been buried with him by baptism into death, we may daily rise with him to newness of life. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you for your holy church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. In mercy, remember your whole church throughout all the world, together with all the shepherds of your flock and all who serve your people. Let the rays of the Sun of Righteousness shine in all earth's darkness, that the whole world may come to know the brightness of his love. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, whose Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, did love his mother, bless, we pray you, and keep in your eternal love all mothers, and especially our own, whom we remember before you this day. And grant that we, whom they have taught your way from childhood, may by our faithful lives ever be a blessing to them, and bring them all at length to your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Remember the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and all who are in authority in this and every land, that there may be justice and peace in all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy upon us and protect us in this time of sickness. Forgive us our many and grievous sins, and help us to place our whole trust and confidence in your mercy. Sustain and uphold all doctors and nurses, and all who care for the sick and the dying, and protect them in all their work. Prosper the work of those who labor to find a cure for this pestilence, and grant that we may love and care for one another according to your holy commandment. Lord, in your mercy. By the grace of your Holy Spirit, reveal the risen Lord himself as the shepherd of souls to the sick and the sorrowing, as the comforter of the lonely and the forsaken, and as their staff and stay to those who pass through the valley of the shadow of death. We especially commend to your mercy Roy, Mary, and Prince, and all those for whom our prayers are desired. Lord, in your mercy. We also remember before you all those who have fallen asleep in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection, and pray that we may be made partakers with them of your everlasting kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Grant all these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let us sing hymn 500.